Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And a good Wednesday afternoon, everybody. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. In the opening hour today, we'll talk a little bit of hockey here in the start with Bob Grove, talking about the Penguins who finally get back home. They're 6-0-1 at home this year. On the road, though, they played 13 of their 20 games on the road. We'll talk to Bob about that. Then the Steelers in the next half hour with Neil Coulong, because tomorrow night they play the Tennessee Titans. Yes, a Thursday night game for the Pittsburgh Steelers as they take on Tennessee. We'll get into all the ramifications of playing on a Thursday and the money grab by the National Football League. Let's get to the college football playoff. In the college football playoff, the top four revealed last night at Penn State is number 10. I thought that was interesting to see Penn State go up four spots to number 10 in this. And remember, right now, you know, you're thinking about maybe trying to win the Big Ten East, maybe getting to the Big Ten championship game. But there's another part, too. If that doesn't happen, which right now Penn State does not have the inside track to do, you want to get to a New Year's Six game. At 10, it opens the door for the possibility of that. So here's how it played out last night. Alabama is number one. And Clemson is number two. Miami is three, and Oklahoma is only number four. I thought Oklahoma would get a little bit more love than that. But you'll take the safe route. But Clemson lost at Syracuse. Of course, Oklahoma has one loss, and that was against Iowa State at home. So those are the top four teams. Wisconsin's number five, but to be honest with you, they're in a pretty good position because, you know, Miami and Clemson have to play each other in the ACC championship game. But their week schedule has just absolutely crushed them. Playing in the Big Ten West does not help. They've got Michigan this week. To be honest with you, I think Michigan's going to beat them, but that's just my opinion. I think Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State are all better than Wisconsin. And Auburn is number six, and Auburn, as Bill Bender pointed out on our show yesterday from Sporting News, it controls its own destiny. I mean, they may be a two-loss team, but they've got Alabama, say where they were to win that, they put them into the SEC championship game, and if they were to beat Georgia, they could get themselves right into the top four. Then after that, you've got the big drops that were made by Notre Dame, and they fell to eighth in all of this, and nine and ten are Ohio State and Penn State, respectively, each going up four spots. The highest-ranked Pac-12 team is USC. So they are the highest-ranked Pac-12 team in this. And that's where they are. Now, they're going to play in the Pac-12 championship game. They've got UCLA this week. My opinion here is simple. Based on scheduling this weekend, I think the College Football Playoff Committee... They won't do this. They won't do this. But the College Football Playoff Committee needs to send a message. And that is to automatically drop Alabama and Clemson one spot in the poll next week for playing Mercer and the Citadel, respectively. In other words, you know, play somebody at this time of the year. Everybody else is out there risking something. Wisconsin's risking something this weekend. They've got Michigan this weekend. You know, drop them one spot. I mean, Penn State's playing Nebraska this weekend. Now, Penn State's at 10, but I'm just saying, Penn State's playing Nebraska. Is Nebraska a great team? No. But is Nebraska a legitimate FBS opponent that you are playing along the way? Yes, as opposed to Mercer and the Citadel. They need to send a message. Drop them one this week and be very plain about it. Say, look, you're going to play Mercer and the Citadel in week number 11 of the season, or week 12, whatever they want to call it. All right, you're going to get dropped because now that's been added into your body of work. And send a message, you know, stop playing games, stop doing this. And I think that would be a very strong message they could send by dropping them one spot. And if they keep doing it, drop them two spots next year. You know, it's go out and schedule somebody that has some legitimacy to them. That's how I look at it. And Clemson's doing the same thing Alabama is. And Auburn, by the way, is doing the same thing, too. They're playing Louisiana Lafayette. No, it's, again, you've got to send a message. Drop them all down one and say, hey, you're not trying. You're not trying. Now, obviously, Alabama played Florida State in the opening weekend of the season. I know that. But remember, the ACC and the SEC only play 8 conference games. They have 4 non-conference openings. And they, Auburn, Alabama, and Clemson, all 3, stuck the game deliberately in this spot. All right, we'll come back. Bob Grove, we'll talk a little bit about the Penguins Steelers talk next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
20 by the 20th.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai needs to sell 20 Hyundais by November 20th to keep up with manufacturer demands.
If you want to have a fun day,
you have to drive a Hyundai
from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Save $5,000
on a 2017 Hyundai Elantra SE starting at
$15,170.
Buy a $24,820 Hyundai Sonata for only
$19,370.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is discounting all Hyundais to levels never seen before to reach their 20 Hyundai sold by November 20th. The nimble Hyundai Tucson has sacrificed by over $3,000 to an unbelievable
$23,318.
And the mid-sized Hyundai Santa Fe Sport has $46.99 knocked off. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty.
10 years, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai needs to be on your list
for your next import vehicle.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Elantra and Sonata listed were SMC loaner vehicles.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. Penn State basketball tonight, Montana in the Jordan Center at 7. We're on beginning at 6:30. Montana comes in 2-0, coming off their win at Pitt on Monday night in overtime, 83-78. The Nittany Lions are also 2-0 with back-to-back wins over Campbell and Fairleigh Dickinson. Don't forget Bucknell basketball on Eagle 107 tonight. Doug Birdsong and company at North Carolina, the defending national champions. Bucknell gets their shot at them tonight. Bucknell trying to break through in the win column after tough games with Monmouth and Arkansas on the road. But everyone understands my point about the college football playoff, about dropping Alabama, Clemson, and Auburn down one notch going into next week. In other words, you don't penalize them so much that, you know, Clemson and Alabama would still be in the top 4, and Auburn would still control its own destiny in all this. So there would be no real change there, but it would be symbolic just to look at them and say, look, I'm sorry, you can't do this. You can't schedule that kind of game in the thick of the playoff run. And 3 of the top 7 teams in the country, based on what they're doing, are doing that this weekend. 3 of the top 7 are doing that with their schedule this weekend. And I think it's up to them, since they have control of this thing, to at least send a small message, not debilitating, but just a small message that that kind of scheduling can't be tolerated at this time of the year. All right, the Penguins. Talk a little bit about them. Steelers next half hour with Neil Coulon. Bob Grove joins us from Pittsburgh, Penguins analyst. And Bob, first of all, welcome. It's always great to have you here.
Oh, Steve, it's great to be on with you.
All right. Lost the last 2, 4-4-2, their last 10. In some ways, it feels like it's so early, but it feels like they're meandering.
Yeah, they are meandering. They've been and not well recently. They've lost six of their last eight games. And, yeah, they sit in a wild card playoff position right now. But I'm a firm believer, Steve, that you win springtime based on the habits you build over the course of the season. And right now they're not, you know, they're not building the right kind of habits.
Well, let's start with, I mean, first of all, they are playing, man, I don't think people realize this, the Penguins realize this, they played 19 games, 13 have been on the road. They've only played six times at home. They haven't lost at home, as a matter of fact.
Right.
I mean, how much does this, I mean, does that change any thinking in your part, or does it, or does that part matter?
Well, it does matter. I mean, it's a factor, but I'm just not going to sit here and say that's the reason why they're in the position they're in today. I mean,
right.
I won't go that far, but you'd be crazy not to say it's a factor. I mean, here's the reality is this. They played 19 games. That's tied for the most in the league. They played 13 road games. That's the most in the league. They played six sets of back-to-back games. That's the most in the league. So now it's turning. Beginning with tonight's game against Buffalo, 10 of the next 13 are at home. And they've only got two sets of back-to-backs in that span. So we'll see if they can they keep playing the way they've been playing at home.
Well, they've only scored 50 goals this year. I mean, in fact, they're a minus 18 on the season in terms of goal differential. What is not – and we know it's not going in the net. What else isn't happening on offense?
Well, first of all, they've got no scoring balance. I mean, that's what every team that tries to achieve and what the Penguins the last 2 years in winning the Stanley Cup were able to achieve. In other words, the guys on the bottom of the lineup, the third and fourth lines, while they weren't scoring a ton of goals, they were chipping in fairly consistently. That's not happening at all. They're getting nothing from the bottom six for the most part. And they're also right now, they have to get anything from the Sidney Crosby line. I mean, the line mates have been changing with Sid. I mean, it's all been the Kessel, Malkin, and whoever they're playing with. And the power play is doing all the damage. And you just can't centralize all your scoring in so few outlets. You've got to have more balance. And they're getting the, you know, when you, Steve, if you look at it, they're getting, you know, a typical number of shots, that kind of stuff. But they just need, they need better execution on, they need to spend a little bit more time in the offensive zone. I've not seen them do as much of that as they did last season.
How have you felt about their special teams?
Well, the power play is ranked fifth in the league.
Right.
And it's been crazy good on the road. Not quite as good at home, but it's been good. The penalty killing is a problem right now. They're at 74% the last seven games. And here's the issue with the penalty kill. Two things. Number one, they're taking too many penalties. And so they're taking, you know, they're basically short four times a game right now, and that's a lot more than they were last year. So they're taking too many penalties, and they're not killing them all. And remember this, every time the Penguins take a penalty, Steve, that's another 2 minutes that there's no Crosby,
right,
no Malkin,
right,
no Kessel.
Right, exactly right. You know, I mean, they tie their hands in two ways when they do that. What about Murray's play? Has Murray done the job? And, you know, there have obviously been a couple games where he got way out of hand, but for the most part, has he kept them in games?
He has. He absolutely has. I mean, I think he's been everything advertised. He's come in and, you know, his first season as the clear-cut kind of number one guy in the National Hockey League with two cups on his resume. And I think he's been everything they expect him to be. He's a kid who comes up with big saves at big times in games, and he does it routinely. He's almost unbeatable at home. And here's the thing just to keep in mind about Matt Murray. Braden Holtby, who I like a lot, I think he's a really good goaltender. He needs to get his game to a different level in the postseason, but that's another discussion. Now he got some attention over the weekend when the Caps beat the Penguins. He got the 200 wins NHL history at 319 games. Ken Dryden did it in 311. Matt Murray right now is on pace to do it in 308.
Wow,
so he would beat even Dryden's numbers. That's how good he's been.
You and I remember watching Kenny Dryden. So, Kenny,
tremendous.
Kenny Dryden and Matt Murray could have been in the same category. Ken Dryden was the Finals MVP of the Conn Smythe Trophy winner before he was the Calder Award winner as the Rookie of the Year.
That's right. In 1971, he came out of the minor leagues, played and started in Pittsburgh, by the way, Steve.
Yep.
And, yeah, he was playing on great Canadian teams. But when, you know, when this kid came in late in the season, I think there were people who certainly said, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, they go all the way to the top.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, the opening's in seven games. with Orr, Esposito, Busick, Hodge, Freddie Stanfield, the whole thing, and Dryden in the Boston Garden won the game. Murray almost pulled off the same trick in some ways, by the way. He backstopped the Penguins in the Stanley Cup. Great teams play chess, and they're a step or two or a move or two ahead of everybody. Others get into a category where they guess a bit. Are the Penguins at this stage, are they guessing a little bit right now?
In terms of personnel, you mean?
Yeah, personnel, how they're playing the game, how they want to do it, how they want to approach it.
Well, you look, Sullivan hasn't changed the way he plays the game and the way he expects his team to play the game. They're the ones on having more speed than anything in the league when they won.
Right.
They're won in 2016. And the Penguins are trying to play that same game, but they're not playing it as efficiently. They're, you know, and this is where the schedule starts to get into it. You say, like, you watched them the other night, 5-4 loss in Nashville on Saturday night, Steve. A lot of people, a couple of days rest, which they did. The Penguins had played the night before all night long. For the first, the first 30 minutes of the game, Nashville beat them to every single puck and just looked like much the quicker team. We've seen that happening to the number of occasions this season, and it hasn't only been games the same way, but they just can't quite get there. They haven't been able to find here, and that's really critical to the way they play.
Inside, teams are always trying to adjust to you, and it's a copycat league. Are you seeing more speed across the board in the league?
Yes. I don't think there's any question. That's exactly what you said is so tricky. Like, go back to the Devils winning with the trap. Look at every 5 years.
Everybody trapped.
And so every team, right, everybody to say, we need to get quicker. We need to find younger guys who've got speed and be first to puck. So, yeah, absolutely. The Penguins are kind of fighting that a little bit, and they're also fighting the fact that now that teams have had a couple of seasons to watch the Penguins play the way they play, I think they're doing a better job of you know, cutting off the pass that the Penguins expect to be there and kind of using start taking things away from them and make them find other ways to move.
I'm going to play at home, and they're going to finally have a schedule that eases up on them. It'll be an interesting conversation the next time through because they're going to have some things away, and let's see how.
Yeah, they should be much better this time. They better be because, you want to get on the other side of Thanksgiving and be out of a playoff spot because then that means you have to climb over a lot of teams over some rough months of the
right.
season.
Yeah, that's a good point, Bob, because now, I mean, it's not just, oh, they're here. No, it's the number of people you have to climb to get there. Bob, it's always a pleasure. Enjoy the conversation very much.
Thanks, Steve. Great being on with you.
Penguins analyst Bob Grove, great to have him on the show today. Next half hour, we'll stay in Pittsburgh, and we'll talk with Neil Coulong and talk about the Steelers, who will be playing the Thursday night game at Heinz Field, taking on the Tennessee Titans. That'll be tomorrow night, first time that the Steelers have faced Marcus Mariota, as a matter of fact. The matchup's intriguing. It's going to be very interesting to see how the two teams handle playing on a Thursday night because there's been one bad Thursday night game after another. The home team has a distinct advantage on Thursday night football. Let's see what Tennessee and Mariota can do tomorrow night. I mean, at least in terms of intrigue, there is at least something with this. Tennessee's a good team. The Steelers are potentially an outstanding team. There are no great teams out there, but I mean, the Patriots are close to it, but whether it's college football or pro football, I don't think there are any, quote, great teams out there. I think that you have some really, really good ones, and what separates the Patriots and the Alabamas from the world at times, the fact that they play the game smarter than other people do in a lot of ways. I don't think dumb penalties and so forth. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Neil Coulon coming up in the next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for This Day in Sports History. Then Neil Coulong is going to join us on the show today. The Steelers play tomorrow night against the Tennessee Titans. That will be at Heinz Field on Thursday Night Football. On this day in sports history, 1983, one of the truly great right wingers of all time, Mike Bossy of the New York Islanders, picked up his 75th career hat trick. In 1991, Ricky Pierce of the Seattle Supersonics, now the Oklahoma City Thunder, began a free throw streak of 75 consecutive games. Richard Petty in 1992, the King, drove his final race of his 35-year career. 1998, Barry Sanders of the Detroit Lions registered his fifth straight 100-yard rushing game. It was the 75th of his career. 2002, Mike Modano of the Dallas Stars, his 1,000th NHL point, only the fifth U.S.-born player to reach that milestone. 2005, Major League Baseball players and owners agreed to tougher penalties for steroid use for the next season. The new rules called for a 50-game suspension for a first offense, 100 games for a second, and a lifetime ban for a third, plus testing for amphetamines. What's interesting is that the Players Association, Major League Baseball, always the toughest union, have been so concerned over the years about making sure that they think people think the game is clean that they've agreed to all of these things. And I give them a lot of credit for that. I mean, that I give them a lot of credit for at least attempting to do something like that because they're concerned that people would have a negative image about the game and of course, their players. All right, the Steelers tomorrow night, Thursday night football, take on the Tennessee Titans led by quarterback Marcus Mariota at Heinz Field. With that, we bring in from USA Today, Neil Coulon. Neil, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
You know, I got a confession to make. Until somebody pointed out to me after Sunday's game, I forgot they were even playing on Thursday.
Well, that's okay. That's okay because based on all the Thursday night games I've watched this year, they failed to tell a lot of teams this year they were playing on Thursday night.
Yeah, you know, it didn't seem like Ben was all that thrilled with it either.
No, it did not seem enamored by it. On Sunday, in watching that game, you're coming off a bye week, and you think you'd have a little bit of jump and so forth. What did you like? What didn't you like?
I like the fact that, one, and we talked about this, this really had the feel of that big letdown game that we expect from the Steelers on the road, what we've seen over the last couple of years. They usually have at least one of these. Now, they had the one in Chicago, but historically, or at least over the last couple seasons, what's been interesting to me is these games have usually been 1 p.m. kickoffs against AFC teams, and that's exactly what this was. I mean, losing at Chicago is one thing, and that was embarrassing in and of itself, but this felt like it could have been a second one, and it certainly looked that way for a half. I mean, that's as bad as we've seen them play in I don't know how long. Yeah, it was just miserable. But the key thing that I would take away from this is – just largely that they usually lose that game.
Right.
You know, we know it's coming. It's against a bad team. It's got every single characteristic of one of these games. And they came back and they won.
Right.
You really have to be impressed with the way they defensively they played over the last probably five possessions of the Colts. They really got after it. I was impressed with that. They raised their game when they had to. They found a way to win a game when they weren't playing well. That to me is a mark of a good team.
Right. And that's, you know, it could have been an L. It wasn't an L. And they got it done. Martavis Bryant got back into the mix. Can he be a factor down the stretch?
I think he can be a factor if they don't send him deep anymore. I'm not sure exactly what's going on between he and Roethlisberger on those deep passes. But people were arguing back and forth whether it was a poorly thrown ball or a missed route slash kind of a give up on the play type of effort from Bryant. To me, it was both. I'm not sure exactly where Roethlisberger was trying to throw that. Bryant seemed to think he was throwing it, down the sideline, which would be typical for that kind of a situation. But at the same time, Bryant lost the ball. I mean, we talked about this before as well. I think it was against Chicago or Jacksonville. He went deep on a ball, and it didn't even look like he made an effort for it. And I don't think it's because he's lazy. I think he just didn't know where it was. You know,
right.
You look at his reaction, the cornerback knew exactly where it was. I don't think Bryant ever really had a good sense of where that ball was. Or at least, he didn't have a very good position. He wasn't in a position to make an athletic play on the ball, which is another issue. I go back to balance all the time with him. It's just he doesn't look nearly as fluid the athlete he was before his suspension. And I wonder if the 20 pounds of rip he added over the last year isn't affecting that in some way.
Let's get to the defensive side of it, because they did some decent things in the game. Obviously, the Colts wanted to ride Frank Gore as long as they could ride him. What did you think about the defensive part of it, especially in the second half? Because in the second half, they really were at a point where they couldn't allow any more points.
Yeah, I thought that was exactly it. The defense at that point, I thought, had kind of a lackadaisical effort in the first half. I was really troubled with what Ryan Shazier said after the game. A couple players had said, it doesn't even feel like it's a game day. Like, well, it didn't look like you felt it was a game day either. We saw that in the first half, for sure. But the defense was the unit that really, I thought, stepped up and got back to what we kind of expect from them. And over those last couple drives, when they really couldn't give up any more points, they just weren't going to be able to. They didn't just stop them. They pushed them back.
Right.
I think the added field position that the defense won for the offense, and even though they missed a field goal, the defense helped give them the ball again at the end to win it at the horn. And that was the only time in the game they led. So to me, again, I was happy with the defensive kind of turnaround in the second half. If they're a better defensive team than the Colts are an offensive team. And I thought Brissett got a couple plays on him. The secondary went down two guys in the first half, I think. A tough situation for them to come in and pick it up as well as they did. So, you know, hats off to them for that. But what a terrible game to have right before your Thursday night game. That should be your Thursday night game, you know. Yeah. They're banged up now. That's going to be tough.
All right, I want to ask about the Thursday night part. When you've had a chance over the years, because Thursday night football is not something that's new, and the Steelers have had to play on Thursdays, including playing on Thanksgivings. How long does it really take a typical player to get that soreness out after 3 hours of knocking heads, knocking shoulders, knocking knees? I mean, how long does it take? And then let's take into account the next stop, which is Thursday.
Most of the guys say like 4 days is what they would need. They need an off day, maybe something lighter with more therapy involved. That's kind of a Monday. If they play Sunday, that's kind of a Monday. Then they have Tuesday off, and they have 3 days of practice. So it really, for them, it's like they have 2 days to kind of rest and get ready, but those practices aren't typically all that, you know, super intense leading into it. They might mix some in there, but not obviously, you know, game speed, full acting like that. So they say that typically they feel good again probably by about Friday. And that's a combination of rest, therapy, and, you know, kind of working the kinks out on the field a little bit, you know, getting the body moving a little bit. You cut all that out in half by playing on Thursday. And that really – we're seeing the product on the field. I mean, you can't continue to watch Thursday night football and think these are good games. They're just not. They're not the level that we expect in the NFL.
In fact, I mean, you're talking about some players will use maybe a hot or a warm tub. A lot use cold baths now. And then, look, everyone knows massage therapy has become very important in the league to work out the muscles, and they don't have time to do any of that, let alone game plan.
Well, then I was going to bring that up as well. Probably even more of the issue is the fact that when you have to play out of the division against a team that you don't know particularly well, what do the Steelers know about Dick LeBeau? Obviously plenty, but not with the personnel that Tennessee has.
That's right.
They haven't faced Marcus Mariota before. That's a really tough assignment for them, even if they are getting the game at home. Typically the home team wins your Thursday night games, but it's going to be a really tough assignment for them. You know, they're not necessarily old. I think their defense at least is very young, but being a veteran player, he just played a half. You know, he's getting up there in age a little bit, and he hasn't played a whole lot this season. They need him to play four quarters on Thursday. That's not an easy assignment for them. You know, whatever they're going to do at cornerback, whether it's going to be Will Gay or Sensabaugh, we're not sure, but those guys are both, you know, veterans. Certainly Will Gay is a veteran. They got extensive work in on Sunday. Now they have to come back and play on a short week. I don't know. The defense might be in trouble more than anything, and they're the young side of the ball. So it's definitely a physical and mental challenge, and we've seen the Steelers, you know, come out on top in these games before, and we've seen them, you know, lose a couple of them. But I don't think we've seen the Steelers team play a decent team on Thursday night and not have a very, very competitive, not sloppily played game.
You and I both know, at least initially, Thursday night football is not going away because, look, I mean, the money from CBS and NBC is just too good for them to pass up. And the ratings continue to be good. Not like they were a couple of years ago, but still good. How much is the NFL right now experience? Now, we can talk about national anthems and we can talk about quarterback play and so forth. Are they experiencing an oversaturation problem?
The networks are even starting to say that might have been part of the issue. I think what this really comes down to is the highest bidder is not always the best bidder. In the case of the NFL, it seems like the strategy was take as much money as they can, take as much market share as they can. Keep in mind, Thursday night, that's the primetime TV market. That's the only reason they want to play on Thursday night. I get that from a business standpoint, but you have to ask yourself, just because we can do it and we can profit on it, does that mean that we should? Is this the right move overall? What's going to happen if we don't have Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning in their prime playing in this game and right. it's terrible football? What happens then? If we have to have everybody play in this game because it's a competitive advantage to have, you know, just a quarter of the teams in the league play it and not the other one. They don't have that, you know, mini bye, but they don't have to play on short rest either. So you have to balance it out. That means you have to put Cleveland in that game. That you have to put Arizona in that game. Tampa Bay has to play in that game. It really makes it difficult from a marketing standpoint to ask teams that don't have, you know, the loads of talent that half the league has to play on a short week just for the sake of adding another, you know, primetime event. I don't think it's a bad idea, and I think that the league would even say if they were able to play on Saturday night, they would. Obviously, college gets in the way of that, and it's kind of an unspoken agreement. You take Sunday, we'll take Saturday. But I think overall, they're really going to have to ask themselves a tough question this offseason. What else can they do to keep the revenue coming in where it is and try to eliminate this Thursday night game? It's just it's too early in the week. They just can't do it.
Because you and I both know what the league rule is. Everybody is guaranteed one primetime spot. That primetime spot could be Sunday, could be Monday, could be Thursday. I mean, that's part of being in the club.
That's an excellent point as well. You know, it gives all, you know, it gives a lot more exposure to a lot more teams. But you know else, you know what else would? Opening up games to let people, you know, buy something outside of DirecTV to be able to watch the game that they want to watch each week. You know, that's the way that I've thought about it. It's like it doesn't have to be a primetime game.
That's
you know,
right.
I have yet to see the Rams play this year, for example. I'd like to watch them. It sounds like they're an interesting team. But they hold so much of that stuff back simply because of their network, you know, the broadcast partners that they have are paying through the roof for it. Therefore, they get whatever they want. And that, to me, is where the strategy of trying to get as much money as possible ultimately fails. If they would have thought about that and said, you know what? We don't want to take that much money because you have to do a lot more to make it back, and then we're going to be obligated to do that for you. I'd rather us, you know, create much more, you know, market share by marketing the product in a lot more places than what we're currently doing.
Right.
You know, trying to hold back the market to create, you know, buzz and attention really for highlight shows, that's just not the way things work anymore. And the NFL can't stop that either, but they're continuing to try.
Well, the funny thing is, I don't think people realize the $1.9 billion a year that ESPN pays for Monday Night Football. Actually, $350 million of it is for rights on highlights.
That's the sweetest plum. Exactly what they want. That's why the highlight shows are so critical to everybody, which is also why they try to impose their copyright all over the internet. Really, if you look at the strategy the NBA has, for example, they're all for it. Like, hey, we have way more highlights than we can put on a show, so you guys have at it. You know, the fan excitement it builds, you know, less brand loyalty to a specific team and more to the sport itself, and that's really what the NFL needs right now. The main thing that is going away is the casual average fan. Now it's the diehard fans that are very loyal to a team, but they're not loyal to the product nearly as much as they used to be. So I'm not going to watch Thursday Night Football because it's not a good game. Plain and simple, I know that. It's not fun to watch it.
And then there's the next part. You brought up the Brady Manning part. The NFL has been a lot like the NBA. They've been extremely lucky with their playoffs in the last 10 years. The NBA has had, almost every year, LeBron James, whether Cleveland the first time, four straight Miamis, and of course now since he's returned to Cleveland, of having him in the finals against a compelling, fun team like Golden State. The NFL has had Manning or Brady with a relative level of consistency in deep playoff runs of the Super Bowl year. Mm-hmm. How concerned should the league be that once the Brady factor goes away, that they're going to lose the LeBron factor when he goes away in the NBA?
Yep, I think that's a very solid point, and I would say this. Who in their right mind right now is going to watch San Francisco versus Cleveland?
Well, we have one guy here, but that's we actually have a 49er fan here in the station.
Tell him, you know what, I'll be eating my words in a couple years. It's not going to be this year or next year.
That's right.
In the NBA, there are a lot of those teams, and those games get kind of, you know, shoved off to the side as well. But they have 82 games a year. In the NFL, you have, you know, schedules full of these really bad teams. I came across this stat on Twitter a little while ago. The Steelers' last 16 regular season games are 14-2, and the list of quarterbacks that they played is embarrassingly bad. Most of them are backups. Most of them were replaced after playing the Steelers. One guy's not even in the league anymore. I think he's pretty – he and Kaepernick are the only two guys that haven't been signed that played last year. It's just crazy to see how, you know, really shallow the quarterback talent is. And that's really the marquee, you know, the LeBron, if you will, of the NFL is the quarterback. Right. They simply don't have very many good ones anymore. And a lot of the ones that were good fairly recently have fallen off tremendously. I mean, do you realize how much better of a passer Case Keenum is this year than Ben Roethlisberger?
I know.
Noticeably better.
Off the charts.
Crazy.
Yep.
Look at Eli Manning. Eli Manning has fallen completely apart to the point where these two guys, all the, you know, the argument was which one of them is going into the Hall of Fame first this time last year. Now, it's we're not even 100% sure they're going to be back next year.
Right.
It's getting to a point where they're just not replacing the guys who are leaving. And obviously, I mean, Peyton Manning's got pretty big shoes to fill, no doubt, but you kind of hope that Jameis Winston would have taken that step by now, but he hasn't. If anything, he's regressed. He looks terrible this year for whatever reason. There's so many of these, you know, the marquee matchups that you'd want to see are just not happening. And that's a big part of the reason why they want to protect quarterbacks as much as possible. Nobody outside of Green Bay wants to watch the Packers play, and everybody in the nation wants to watch the Packers play when Rodgers is healthy. So, you know, obviously it's a simple thing and it's really hard to regulate, but they got to get more star power on the field. They got to get quarterbacks playing a little bit better. And I'm not sure the, you know, teams with a defensive philosophy really want to allow that either.
Neil, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong, USA Today. Always great to have Neil on the show. Great perspective. As always, we'll get the Eagles perspective coming up with Matt Leon on Friday as the Eagles have the Dallas Cowboys coming up on Sunday Night Football. And we'll get Matt's take on the Philadelphia Eagles. In fact, when you look at the Eagles, the timing of the bye week could not have been any better for them. And not only that, the timing of playing Dallas could not be any better. No Zeke Elliott. Smith isn't there at left tackle. Sean Lee got hurt. All that has combined. When you have a magical season going, sometimes magical things happen on the other side too. And the timing for the Eagles could not be any better going into Sunday Night Football. Merrill Reese is going to join us on the show tomorrow to preview the Cowboys game. Looking forward to talking with the great man himself. All right, college football playoff rankings. You know, it's the first time I've watched the ranking show all year last night because it was in between Duke, Michigan State, and Kentucky, Kansas. And I was watching the Duke, Michigan State game, and I watched a little bit of Kentucky, Kansas. At least the beginning of it. But since it was between games, I said, all right, let's take a look at this. Now, I thought Penn State would come in at 11. I was pleasantly surprised when I saw Penn State come in at 10. But it's just absurd the way they do this thing. Just release it. Everything's a show. This happened. One team up, one team. And Kathy and I are sitting there. All right. You know, and she just... She was just walked in and started watching this, and she said, oh, are these the rankings? I said, yeah. She says, what is this, all this ridiculous stuff? I said, I know. I said, they make it into a show. I said, it's absurd. Just release it. Get it over with. And that's exactly right. Just release it. Get it over with. I mean, everything can't be a drama, a show, a big intro, whatever. You know, you're doing stuff like that now. You're starting to turn people off. You know, just get it done. Just get it done along the way. That's what they need to do, is get it done. And as I mentioned earlier, I just feel that just to send a message, I mean, nothing that's debilitating or anything like that, but Clemson, Auburn, and Alabama should all be knocked down one spot in next week's poll because of who they played this week. And if you're going to play Mercer, the Citadel, and Louisiana Lafayette, and by the way, Louisiana Lafayette is the best team of that group. If you're going to play those teams, all right, this late in the season, essentially schedule yourself a glorified scrimmage bye week, you should be penalized for it. In other words, you'll be able to regain your ranking the next week because you do have big games. All right. Coming up, one more hour to go. Looking forward to it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.